the meeting to order, please. Can I get a roll call, please?
Kurt Alston.
Here.
Tracy Carluccio.
Here.
Tim Doherty.
Here.
Michael Dressler. Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Holtaway.
Here.
Bruce James.
Here.
Paul Richko.
Here.
Jim Riley.
Here.
Michael Sevetich.
Here.
Michael Tiefenk. James Bizzioli.
Here.
Richard Bowden.
Here.
Robert Walton.
Here.
Can I get the open public meeting that addresses?
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and location of this meeting to current newspapers or circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next up is approval of minutes.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion.
I'll second.
And a second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richko?
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefenk? Councilmember Vizzioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. Next up is the chairman's report. I'll be brief because a lot of it's incorporated into the ED's report. I'd like to announce that Jim Mengucci has put in his resignation from this board. We wish him all the best of luck moving forward. He was appointed to
County College of
Warren. So we wish him the best of luck moving forward and appreciate his time here on the Highlands Council. The other items, as I said, we'll go over as they come up during the rest of the meeting. Any other council members have any?
I do, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a resolution I would like to offer for our agenda. It has to do with sustainable state funding for preservation and stewardship of open space, parks, and farmland.
If I may, I was going to amend and add in a resolution for the same. Did they make it to the packet?
No.
Can we get those passed out, please?
Okay.
We'll take them. We'll pass these out now. We'll take action later, so to give you a chance to read it. This is consistent with other supporting resolutions that this body has made in the past. And it, unfortunately, I thought it would, but it did not make the agenda. But we do have it here tonight.
Chairman Riley,
yes.
I do have a resolution that I have drawn up myself. It looks like it probably is a little different than this one, and I would like to be able to offer that on the agenda at the appropriate time. I have copies for every council member.
What is wrong with the resolution that's going to be passed out at this point in time, especially since you haven't seen it yet?
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm saying I have prepared a resolution that I would like the council to consider.
You can certainly pass it out, but...
Well, I think I have the right to...
I said you certainly pass it out, but
yes.
I don't understand what...
Well, I want to know where on the agenda you were going to put this.
I was going to bring it up later in the agenda. We're going to make a couple of amendments as we move forward, so it's going to push back our chief counsel spot as well.
Thank you. It's two pages.
I'd like to move forward with some of the rest of the agenda at this point, and we'll take a moment. Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's not.
Yeah.
I would like to continue with the regular agenda for now and get back to this to give all members an opportunity to read this later on. Actually, I skipped an item. We also have approval of the HDC bank minutes from March 14th. Can I get a motion on those, please?
I'll move it.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? See a none. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richko?
Yes.
Councilmember Sebetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Voden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Ryan?
Yes. Already took care of the chairman's report. The committee report on personnel will be held in conjunction with the consideration of resolution for appointment of chief counsel. Later on in the meeting, we will go into executive session so board members can discuss this before coming back out to the public. Having said that, we'll move on with the agenda for consideration of resolution approval of submission of the 2012 annual report. Can I get a motion on that, please?
Move.
Second. We have a motion and a second. At this point in time, I'll open it up to the public. Would anybody in the public wish to be heard on this resolution?
Is this the one you just passed back?
No.
That's for the open space.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to read that.
No, this is for our approval of submission of the 2012 annual report.
No public comment.
Oh, is no public comment on that?
No,
I'm sorry, there isn't public comment on that. No, we're not taking public comment on the annual report. There's my mistake. Is it, there's feedback coming in here.
No,
it just says
it's a voting
matter. Okay.
It's not that.
I don't know what it is.
Can you hear me out there? That's better. We blame Dave Piper for this.
Yeah, please.
Any council members have any comment on the annual report? See a none. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis? Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richko?
Yes.
Councilmember Sebetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Voden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Ryan?
Yes. Next up is consideration of resolution approval of a transfer of development right receiving zone feasibility grant to the city of Clifton. We have a motion and a second. At this point in time, did you want to say anything in advance?
Yeah, I think we'd like to have a comment on it. Mark, do you want to talk about Clifton?
Certainly.
Since TDR has become one of Margaret's responsibilities.
It's become my life. As you recall from the presentation that James Humphreys and I made last month, we indicated that grants had been awarded to the past to some towns for whatever reason. The towns did not go forward. We wanted to circle back with them as well as developing partnerships with new towns. Clifton is one of the ones that we've circled back on. They were awarded a grant. They produced everything they were supposed to produce, but it never moved forward because we didn't have a process for them to move forward. I think you may also remember that we pointed out one of the slides as being the most important one, and that is enhanced staff participation with our grantees, as well as a new addition to what we're going to require the scope of work, and that's an economic feasibility study. So we feel that now we have a much better chance of bringing these projects to fruition, to actually establishing a TDR receiving area. Clifton is a wonderful town to work with. They're very excited about being part of our continuing adventure on this one, and that's basically it. We hope next month, just to, you know, kind of whet your appetite, we hope to bring in a town that is new to the process for us. That looks like that's going to move along very well, and the following month we may have another one.
Any council members before I open it to the public?
Just, Gene, I spoke to you earlier today about a resolution from 2007 giving Clifton $40,000, it said in the resolution in 2007. so maybe you want to share with the council.
Do you want me to explain it? Do you want to explain it, Margaret?
I can explain. They didn't get $40,000. They got $20,000 up front. Because all the TDR grantees at that point in time were given half their award up front. But we're hoping that since they came through with an identification of some potential receiving areas, it's got to be revisited because it's no longer up to date, that they will be able to build on what they've done before and it will not be anywhere near $40,000.
Do you have any information as to what the $20,000?
They did. They hired a consultant. They went out and they identified receiving zones. They submitted work to us.
Anybody else on the council before I open to the public? Seeing none, at this point in time, does anybody in the public wish to be heard on this resolution? Yes, sir. You're raising your hand just because I made that comment about the
I've been a patsy before. It'll work. My name is Dave Pfeiffer. I'm a project director, Highlands project director for the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. I'd like to say that we support the grant and believe that finding TDR receiving zones is an important, critical element of the Highlands. We are a little concerned that the municipality had not performed entirely before. That may have been a problem at this end or a problem at that end, or some of both. The interesting thing about Clifton, when I looked at their zoning, they actually have some zoning in place that allows 97 units per acre, as I recall. And altogether, I would like to make a request that we see the scope of work so that we can evaluate it against the Act, the RMP, and the state TDR. Enabling statutes. So that's my request.
Okay.
Thank you. Did anybody else in the public?
Yes, sir.
My name is David Shope. I'm the proud possessor of potentially 10.5 TDR credits on 51 acres. Valued at $10,000 a credit, which means my 51 acres are worth $168,000 potentially. That's the maximum I could expect in TDR credits. That is one of the reasons for that is because the TDRs are devalued by this Highlands Council's own methodology to a minimum of a 75% devaluation. So the first thing you need to do is to value the TDR credits at market value, not this purposely deflated value in order to encourage developers to purchase them. So far, cheap as they are, it's not cheap enough. I think you'd have a hard time giving them away. And here you're giving Clifton more money so that their planners have something to do. This is nothing more than a continuation of the full employment for planners, planning board engineers, and attorneys. That's what this is for. And until you get the front end of this whole thing straightened out, the TDR program, forget about the back end, because as cheap as you're trying to make them, you're going to have the same trouble that they had in Chesterfield and enticing holders of TDRs where people had to buy TDRs to build to move. Here in New Jersey, builders do not have to buy TDRs to build. It's a voluntary plan. So as cheap as you've made them, it's not going to be cheap enough. I object to flinging another $40,000. And what I would like to ask this council to do is tally up what you've spent so far in grants like this and balance that against what you have accomplished with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this resolution? Seeing none, close the public portion. Any further comments from council members? seeing none. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtzman.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Voden.
Yes.
Councilmember Wong.
Yes.
Chairman Romney.
Yes. Next up is the Executive Director's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First item I'd like to announce is a couple of personnel issues. One is a new hire who is in our regional planner, Corey Piasecki. Corey, would you stand up? Corey joined us a few weeks ago after your approval. The regional planner comes from RPA, Regional Plan Association, and has a great deal of experience, as you saw in his resume, in regional and statewide planning. So we're delighted to have him. On an unfortunate note, we bid adieu to Matt Petullo, who was in our GIS department, who has relocated to California and accepted a job with private industry in a related field. So that's kind of the update on our personnel and staff level for this month. I'd like to talk a moment about plan conformance. The Township of Roxbury, Liberty, and the Borough of Oakland are scheduled to go through the conformance process and will be brought before you within the next several months. So we are moving forward on our plan conformance obligation, as well as moving forward on implementation and ordinances. I'm reminded that as much of a goal as plan conformance is, nothing really happens until we have implementation and until we have the ordinances in place. That's really where the rubber meets the road, and that's where a plan takes effect and the ordinances kick in to truly implement the Highlands. So we are focusing on that as well to get our communities to get through the ordinance process and to move forward, as well as gaining the conformance of the other municipalities. Our outreach continues. We had 28 calls last month, and Tracy, you were making note of that. We're now tracking that. That's consistent with our average, which is about 27 calls a month. We had 28 where constituents were addressed via phone call or email. 58 year to date. So it really hasn't changed. It's continuing along the same guidelines that it had and the same volume that it had in the past.
Gene, just to clarify, that's all phone calls. It's a person calling to question about an exemption if they want to put on an addition. It's everything.
It's like in a municipality. How do you address a police department's call for service? How do I get to your office? No, that's not included. But someone who calls for a particular question, a service question about the Highlands, can I do this or did I do this? That's considered a constituent call, but not, you tell me how to get to your office. So
that required a little bit of escalation is here.
Yes, anything that requires an answer. Comments don't require an answer, so we include everything that requires some constituent feedback. Part of your package today is the executive director's delegated authority resolution, and as promised, I will get that to you every month. We had one issue this month, or one delegated authority approval, so it's turning out to be exactly what we forecast, which was a very de minimis approval process. Tennessee Gas was asked about the last time. We are following Tennessee Gas carefully, monitoring it carefully. You have, I think, the link to get to its website, the federal website, which is FERC. And if you don't have it, we'll be happy to get that to you. That was just from an information standpoint approved by DEP. Pipeline is in DEP jurisdiction and part of the preservation area.
what we are required to do at DEP's request was to issue a consistency determination, and it falls within Exemption 11, which is a public utility right to enhance and improve and repair its right-of-way. The question was asked, I believe, by Member Daugherty about the annual report. The annual report is with us now in draft form. Our staff has it, is reviewing it, has found some questions it has as to some reforestation issues and some other issues that we're working on, and we will fine-tune that with them, and hopefully we'll get the final copy to you next month or earlier, depending on the support we get from Tennessee Gas. I would remind us all that the consistency determination and us finding it consistent because of the that Rule 11 is what gives us the authority to set conditions for reforestation, mitigation, land acquisition, and a number of very positive things have taken place because of the consistency determination. If we had not considered it to be consistent, we wouldn't have had the opportunity to have input and feedback on the mitigation. So as things happen there, we will be happy to advise you. The HDC Bank, as was noted in the minutes approval, concluded its fifth round last week, and the net of that is that $1,516,000 was dispersed by the bank. 193 acres were permanently preserved, and if all the offers that were made through last week's meeting are accepted, 467 acres will be preserved through the HDC Bank, and the HDC Bank is now under the leadership of Mr. Walton, and we will be moving forward with that process. The Municipal Exemption Delegation program is now complete. We have received DEP full approval and support. We have received concurrence with the Department of Law, and we are now into implementation. And we look to beginning that the week of April 22nd and 29th, when all municipalities and their planners who are conforming will hopefully come here and be trained, get a certificate, and they will be permitted to issue the exemption. Perhaps Chairman Rowley would like to say that this has been his initiative from the outset.
Just happy that it's done.
We all are. And that takes us to the feature for this evening, which is the Regional Master Plan update. And I'm going to turn over to Margaret in just a few minutes and perhaps interject a few things as we go along. But I think there's a couple of key points that I want to make, and that is evident by that slide that says RMP update. And it is just that. The Act and the RMP as it stands now is very specific and is very disciplined in the approach that we take toward the update. It is not a reexamination. It is not a tear it to nothing and start over again. It is an update. And I think that's the one thing we want to keep in mind is that what we're talking about right now and what we'll introduce tonight is the foundation for doing the update properly. There are a lot of measurements that have to be done. There's a lot of indicators that have to be evaluated. And then there is tremendous amount of public comment that has to come into this. So this is a start. This is really not intended this evening. You know, we hope we don't slip into it to talk about content. That's not where we are right now. Right now we're talking about process and how we begin the process and where that process will take us over the next couple of months. So we do an effective job of updating the master plan. So with that short introduction, I will turn it over to Margaret, who this is another one of her tasks. You see, all the tough stuff I give to Margaret. So she's ready for it, though.
I can only hope. The RMP update is really potentially a very daunting process. And the way we thought we'd approach it is to start to break it down into kind of bite-sized chunks. and so that everybody can get a handle on what we need to do. This presentation that we're giving you now is based on the direction that we find in the Act itself and also in the actual Regional Master Plan. This is the eye on the prize sort of thing. The process of the Regional Master Plan update is based on an evaluation of what have been the successes and the failures with respect to this goal. In the update, that is something that you really, really, really need to keep in mind. There is specific direction, and I think it helps bring a certain amount of discipline to the whole process. So, what is the guidance from the Act that we get on the process? The Highlands Act requires a regional master plan review at least once every 6 years while we're there. We get also some guidance on methodology from the regional master plan. It prescribes tracking and monitoring of regional indicators through preparation of a Highlands monitoring report and a fiscal impact assessment. And I will point out that the fiscal impact assessment is the one thing that is, you know, really specified in the regional master plan. A lot of what else has to happen gets created by this body and really from the public with a lot of input. Okay. The Highlands Regional Master Plan, again, is revised and updated at least 6 years, and the salient clause in that statement is after public hearings. The Act, when the Regional Master Plan was developed, specified how many hearings this organization had to have. It was 5, held in the Highlands areas, in different areas, and 1 held in Trenton. We don't have any specificity about the number of public hearings that we can hold to deal with the Regional Master Plan update. That's something for you people to discuss and come up what you think is an appropriate number of meetings. Section 9 of the Highlands Act talks about the agencies with whom this group should consult, again, to get input to inform them in the development of the update. Really, it's huge. It includes all state agencies, municipal, county, federal officials, advocacy groups, professional and scientific organizations. Really, we're reaching out to our entire constituency in the development of the update. This is basically all the Act provides in the way of guidance. So we turn to the RMP to see what's suggested there. The RMP is quite clear on where we need to go first, and that is we need to develop regional indicators. There are no indicators specified as being necessary in the Act. There are some suggestions in the Act itself. I think you find them on page 419 if you want to go have a look. But that's something that all of you have to decide on what's appropriate to look at. And you want to, I think, look at how has the Act worked or not worked. Indicators are the areas in which we want to assess the impact, both positive and negative, of the Regional Master Plan and, by inference, the Highlands Act, because we really don't know how to improve the Regional Master Plan until we see how it's played out in real life. Okay? It is specified in the Regional Master Plan that we have to prepare a Highlands Regional Master Plan monitoring review report at least once every 6 years to ensure that the Regional Master Plan is meeting its goals. Again, a fiscal impact assessment is mandated, and that is sort of a way of comparing how the Highlands Regional Master Plan has affected the economy of the Highlands area by comparing how Highlands towns are doing with non-Highlands towns. One thing that came, I was out late last night, I went to the Warren County Board of Agriculture legislative dinner, and one of the things that the agriculture community and a lot of Warren County is concerned about is the lack of applications filed for their planning board. I mean, that could be an indicator that you look at in the fiscal assessment. You know, how many planning board applications are coming in. Again, beyond this statement, there's no specificity on what exactly that you look at as a component of the fiscal impact assessment. That's, again, something that you need to discuss and figure out how we move forward. Okay.
Again, a little bit more on implementation from the regional master plan. One of the things that is used as a potential indicator, and this is just a for instance, just to give you kind of the level of what's being asked, a regional master plan indicator that could be measured might be areas of, or sorry, acres of conservation priority areas that are preserved as open space. Indicators will be chosen based on the usefulness of information and data availability and may be either quantitative or qualitative depending on the parameters measured. I mean, this is all very dry stuff and I understand that, but this is the specific direction that you have. Okay. What else could inform the determination of indicators? One thing that I think appears over and over again, both in the Act and in the Regional Master Plan, is the importance of hearing from the public as a way of informing where we go with this. Obviously, as I said before, consultations with state agencies will probably inform the development of indicators, the science agenda, and technical reports. Okay. As we go out into the community and information, your job is to identify, define, agree upon indicators. As a result of consulting the stakeholders and public agencies, you consult the technical reports, derive milestones from indicators to measure the indicator's impact, set a timeline, measure the milestones, report out, incorporate whatever information and insights you get into the development of the new regional master plan. Other considerations, and these are a bit more mundane. We have to develop the sequence of events. What would you like to see happen first? And again, as somebody who works on the development of the budgeting, we need to talk about the extent of review that you want to do. Do you want to do, you know, from soup to nuts? Do you want to do a tweaking? Because whatever you decide on has a budget impact, and we have to figure that out. And again, we come back to the goal of the regional master plan and what you need to evaluate. And there it is.
The foundation.
The opening kickoff.
As you can see, the Act and the RMP, as it's written, really outlines and gives us some guidelines on the directions to take. The biggest thing I got out of it was the public input. And this round of review, I think, is very important. It is the first time it's being reviewed. It was written the first time. And I'm sure people in that room at the time were probably saying, we don't know if this is going to work or not, but, you know, this is the direction they went in. But this is our first opportunity to get a crack at this. What I found to be very important and stood out during this presentation was public input. So I've directed the ED and Deputy ED to start scheduling meetings in each county. I think it's very that's it within the Highlands region. I think it's very important to get that feedback, and I think it's very important that no matter where you stand on this Act, that this is the opportunity to get out there. You now have facts, too, based upon how it's worked over the last six-plus years. So I think that's our first step, and I think there's a lot of work that has to be done in-house to get enough information to us based upon some of these guidelines. So I anticipate the public portion taking a few months, I'm sure, to schedule and just to gather that data. And I'm starting to formulate some thought processes, and I'm certainly willing to listen to anybody who may have some ideas to put together some subcommittees to start breaking this down and into pieces so we can really get our hands around it. Again, I think this is a very important step for the Highlands and this RMP and an opportunity for us to look to see what's working right and wrong in this in the RMP, not the Act. The Act is what it is. So that's the process we're going to start off for now. It's going to start off with public portions. I would encourage council members to attend, certainly the meetings within their own counties. If you'd like to go to others, we just need to know, because if we have to advertise those meetings, we'll certainly do so. But my goal here is not to have us participate in those meetings. I think it's staff gathering data and listening to what they have to say so we can, you know, find out what's happening out there. I think it's very important. So We encourage you to attend. If there's going to be a quorum, I'd like to make sure it's advertised for legal reasons. We will not be participating in that process, but we can listen as well, you know, firsthand as opposed to just getting it secondhand from staff. So that's my thought process right now. Any other comments?
When might we begin those?
Immediately. It's going to be a scheduling issue. Gina Martin will start reaching out to counties, finding venues, and you know, getting those advertised. So it's not going to happen next week. It's going to take some time. They're not going to happen on a daily basis. That's why I think it's probably going to take a couple months to have that take place.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I take it the intent then would be to notify the council members of when, where, and time, and then get back to you to make sure that there isn't a quorum, or if there is, to advertise, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And I may anticipate what you're saying. We would hope that the county reps assist us in getting the meetings set up in their own counties.
I'm speaking for the college president, which I really shouldn't, but he's been very cooperative with us. We have the campus in Waterloo, which has been appropriate for the people on the islands. It's easy for them to get to. There's plenty of parking. I'll talk to them. You just have to give me dates, and I'll get the range so we can go there.
Excellent. Thank you.
We're working on the format.
Well, it's for anybody, isn't it? Huh?
Right. It's for the whole, you know, the entire Western Hemisphere, basically. What we thought about, it should be, really. Maybe having, you know, for starters, at least one meeting in each county. Okay, and that's why it's going to take a couple months, because even if we did one a week, which isn't going to happen, that's 2 months right there. But we also thought about maybe using the League of Municipalities event as a venue to meet with municipal officials. But any suggestions that you have, and this goes for the advocacy groups that are in the room too, on how we can better interface with you to get your thoughts and opinions. You know, we're totally receptive to that.
Yeah, this is for anybody and everybody that wants to participate. I would encourage that these meetings take place in the evening. Many people work during the day, so
absolutely.
I think that's very important.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
The last time when we had these hearings, I thought they were really enlightening. I mean, it's a great way for the council members to hear from the public directly. Some public always attends our meetings here, but this was a much broader public because it's easier for them to get to a meeting and that sort of thing. So I would just encourage our council members to go to as many of them as possible. I did attend all of them last time, and I really learned a lot. So I think even if it requires a public notice, it's not a big expense or trouble.
We don't mind the public notice. I just want, if we have to, we'll public notice all of them, but if we can get a gauge, and I just wanted to clear up the fact that it's not a council meeting per se where mm-hmm. we're out there pitching our individual views and things along those lines. This is to gather information and work with our staff. And it could be explanations that are follow-ups, you know, after that meeting. But I just really hearing what they have to say.
Just one request that we get I think, you know, Jim was talking about this in terms of us getting notice. I think if we get timely notice, it'll help a lot for us to be able to go to meetings. So as soon as they're set, if we could have a quick email,
sure.
That'd be great.
As soon as we know, you'll know.
Great. Thank you.
I mean, we could try to make sure we get everything scheduled in advance before even moving forward. You know, mm-hmm. probably add a couple of weeks to the agenda, to the time frame of getting to that point. But if that's what it has to be, that's what it has to be. And in fact, I'd like to post all the meetings at one time if we could, just so it give up, you know, somebody might be on vacation, might want to attend one in the nearby county. Yes.
Well, then if you're fortunate enough to get them all together at once, and then you can publish once, and you publish all the meetings, and then you're done, and mm-hmm. you don't have a slip up where now you're defending one where too many people showed up accidentally, and all that hassle goes away for a couple of bucks.
Well, I think we have several freeholders here that would probably wouldn't mind helping.
I don't know if you.
And we're looking for suggestions on format as well, so perhaps Tracy can share with us what the format was the last time. I envision a focus group type format where we just start out by throwing a lot of things on the board and start talking about them and start coalescing some consistent thoughts.
But we can talk more about it. I mean, that's certainly great. I think the majority of the time should be the public.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I think what Gina's saying, I mean, this may or may not happen, but what we kind of talked about is, you know, we have the big you know, sheets of paper you write on them, you stick them up on the board as a public. So then you have a, you know, kind of a written document of what transpired at the meeting. That's kind of what we were thinking about, that may change.
We can talk about that further.
Yeah,
get into the
but
process.
That's kind of where we were thinking about going.
Any other comments?
So there you go. There's an overview of the regional master plan review. Anything else on the executive director's report?
I just noticed that I did forget to mention the outreach program that we are continuing. Last month we attended 28 different meetings with state, local, county officials to sing the praises of the Highlands and answer any questions they may have. As Margaret said last night, she went to the, what was it, the meeting?
Warren County Board of Agriculture annual legislative session.
Which, from what she brought back, was extremely informative about some of the things that are of concern to the folks in Warren County. We've been to Trenton several times this month to discuss issues there, and we will continue that to keep the word going. You all received a copy of the annual report. It's in your packet. All done at no cost to the, well, cost only for the copier to do this in-house. It's all an in-house project, thanks to our staff. I think that covers the, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that our staff has also been continuing their education with attendance at numerous continuing education programs, as well as visiting their liaison responsibilities to make sure that everyone is in tune and moving forward. So that has worked extremely well. I think that's all I
think
have.
I think they'll be getting a large education from the public over the next couple of months.
Mm-hmm. I think we will.
We all will.
Mr. Allstate,
yeah, I just wanted to compliment both of you on and the staff for getting the municipal exemption delegation process moving along. I think that there's nothing more valuable that we can do, perhaps second only to compensation, to make life easier for folks who live in the Highlands region, just to live their day-to-day lives. And to be able to delegate these simple exemptions to a municipal official so people can just walk into their town hall and say, hey, I want to put a deck on my house, and the zoning official can say, I'm trained, that falls under the exemption number such and such, go ahead to, you get zoning approval, go ahead to the building office and get your construction permit. So I'm really excited to see us to the point where we're going to be doing the training. Do you have any indication as to how many municipalities might be participating yet?
Or have you extended invitations? Our universe is all conforming municipalities.
Yes. But they may not elect to send somebody, correct?
Well, yeah, they could elect not to send someone, but we're also envisioning that where they're using contract planners, and one planner may cover several towns. We'd still like a backup from that town. We'd like someone who is either an employee or an elected official of that town, preferably an employee, so they would have a backup. And then we're going to have to monitor it as they change, particularly annually, change planners or change that official. And we're going to give them a certificate. They can mount on the wall so people know who the responsible authority is.
And the goal of the training, and I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, the training is designed in a way that it can be just a township administrator or a zoning official or the township clerk or the borough clerk in whatever case. It doesn't have to be the planner that gets much more money per hour compared to one of the municipal officials.
I think if you go to the website and pull up the training and pull up the forms, they're all self-explanatory with a form for a specific exemption. And they fill that out, and it really flows very smoothly on the exemptions. The goal is to keep it simple so they don't have to have a planner fill it out. That's what we've worked towards, so that everyone is consistent, everyone's applying the exemptions properly, and we work, our staff and DEP and legal has worked very, very tirelessly on this because it goes from one to the other and back, another one back, and we're there, which we're very pleased that we are. That's simple.
And correct me for not knowing this. Can a municipality charge a fee for a Highlands review, or are we offering any guidance in that?
We are not charging a fee. The issue of fee, we have not dictated or mandated. We're going to leave that to DCA to decide what the, they're on their own on that.
I think our goal, as at least for my tenure on the council, or my goal as a council member, has always been for services to be available for free for simple things. And these exemptions are rather simple in the realm of the things that we deal with. And I'd hate to have to see a person who lives here, has lived here their whole lives, come in, just wanted to put a deck on their home, and have to pay a fee to get a determination to be told that they're exempt. In my estimation, exemption means they're exempt to begin with. And what we're really doing is just allowing somebody to review what they're already exempt to do. I would hate to see fees charged to people.
And we are not charged, but we have no authority to tell someone they can't charge a fee.
Just lobby.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I just want to note for the record that this is the second month with no new plan conformance petitions. Now that you're not busy, and I know implementation is a tremendous amount of work, and obviously through your report, you've been very busy. But I am concerned. We seem to be, you know, stalled at that number of just under 50% of our acreage in the Highlands being conforming. So I know that we're working real hard on the TDR. I would say we ought to start, you know, thinking about perhaps putting some, you know, out of the envelope type thinking in place to think about how to kickstart this process of getting further plan conformance petitions.
To assume that's being slowed down is incorrect.
Well, this is the second month in the history of the council that there has not been.
Well, there's less towns now, too.
Well, it's but we still have, we're only at 49%
compliance. We have half of the towns. We have 44 of 88.
And imagine the spring coming up at the next.
And it's always hard when you get to the top of the hill to get over the hill, but I'm just saying that I think this is unfortunate, and I think that we should really start thinking about how can we get the steam up to get over that hill to get more towns into conformance.
Well, I think the process is, as you know, is a very disciplined process and a very intensive process, and quite often it's the reason they haven't conformed is because the township has elected, the municipality has not given us everything they need. And there may be just one piece out, and there may be two pieces out, and we just try to get them in. And it's not that we are slowing it down; it's to get the municipality interested in doing it. And that's part of our visits. And we got three coming up. We got three coming up in the next couple months.
It's noted.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
Yes. Yeah, part of the answer, Mr. Ruggio, comment is when we start looking at the regional master plan and the public starts getting involved in that, that will shine a little bit more light on the process. And it could go either way, by the way. But if we show willingness to make the changes to the regional master plan based on public input, I think that will convince people of the validity, if you will, of some of the stuff that we do. If we're rigid in our regional master plan, then you will get almost no response. But if the public sees they can do input and we're willing to make the changes, I believe that would influence people.
Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none, we'll move on. Next item up is a consideration of resolution, authority for plan conformance in Highlands Project Review. This is the delegation of authority to the executive director, who I personally believe has been doing an excellent job at this and kept everybody in the loop. Can I get a motion on this resolution?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. At this point in time, would anybody in the public wish to be heard on this resolution? Seeing none, any council members wish to be heard on this resolution? Seeing none, roll call.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
No.
Councilmember Daugherty.
No.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Haltaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevicic.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Godin.
Yes.
Councilmember Walt.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. At this point in time, I'd like to amend the agenda to have a motion for the resolution that was supplied by the Highlands Council that has been reviewed by our staff. Can I get a motion on that, please?
The open space planning resolution.
Sorry?
Open space planning resolution.
Correct. Second. We have a motion and a second. At this point in time, I'd like to, does anybody in the public wish to be heard on that resolution? This is the resolution supporting dedicated source of funding for land conservation. That was the one you were talking about before. Anybody want to be heard on this? Raise your hand. You, sir.
Thank you.
I like.
Oh, yeah. Keep your ears played and I'll get them all.
Keep up your minutes, man.
Yeah, put somebody else
up. Anybody else wish to hear it?
Hi, my name is Erica Van Alken. I'm the campaigning grassroots coordinator for the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. Just want to thank the council for taking steps to begin addressing this issue of open space funding. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, ma'am.
Ellen Heinrich, New Jersey Farm Bureau. This is one of the three issues that I wanted to bring up in public comment as being very important to the farm community. And we would expect that, we would hope that the council would support the concept. And whatever method is finally decided, I think the landowners in the Highlands would like to see some designation of the money for property in the Highlands or some kind of extra points or something. I think it's very important for the council to get behind this and keep reminding the whole general public and the legislature and the governor that this is still a very big need. And we hope to see something pass. New Jersey Farm Bureau thinks that the sales tax way to do it is probably has the least of problems, but we are working with Keep It Green ourselves, and we'd like to see you send a letter or a person or something and help push it through.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this? Yes, sir.
Dave Pfeiffer, ANJAC. We obviously support the resolution. We've been before the body here several times, urging your action. We're very glad to see it. One thing I would request is that the actual needs and provisions of the RMP be clearly explained to the legislature and the governor's office. We have a very good RMP right now, and we also had a pretty detailed fiscal analysis at the beginning of the RMP preparation process, which is still on your website. The actual dollar values required and a time schedule were worked out at that time. With a little tinkering, you can probably bring that up to date using your 2010 open space report, which is also a good report. But the idea here is to communicate a clear need to the legislature and to the governor's office. And I'm heartened by point number two as well, which is closely coordinated language. And I would certainly, ANJAC would certainly support that. Time is short, though. There are going to have to make some critical decisions about what to do on the ballot in November, and it's time to get on this quickly. I would say to you that it's probably the best route for compensation that you have available to you. So $200 million a year is what the Keep It Green Coalition has been asking for. You might want to add a little to that. So good luck with that, and if we can help in any way, we'd be happy to.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Elliot Ruben, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I don't think my views on this subject matter are unknown. I applaud the Highlands Council for this resolution because it indicates a desire to make this act work, and it's our fundamental belief that this act can work with win-win results for all stakeholders in this process, and I'm very pleased to see a willingness to try to make it work. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this?
Yes, sir.
I found I'm a scratch right here. Two things. One of them is the RMP review master plan. Apparently, to your dates, your thing here was in 2008. So that means 6 years is 2014. I don't know. We're in 2013. But that's the other thing is on the third paragraph down, the landowner's exceptions regarding, I agree with that completely. The other thing I'd like you to add in there, if that's possible, is the land value going back to 2004, because, and it should be made permanently forever. Because it's always being extended and extended, and somebody's going to drop the ball on it. So as long as you're going this far, the assessed values on the farms or the lands should be permanent, not just, you know, it's going to end at, I think, the end of this year. You know what I mean?
So extended a couple times, but this resolution's going forward as is written at this point.
Well, I'm just hoping that we've got public comment on it.
I'm listening.
Yeah, well, you know, the ironic thing is everything you set up there is public comments. Well, if anybody's been around here, I know Kurt has been for the last 9 years, and you heard the comments of the peoples that suffered through this act, that's the thing, because if the money is there, and again, I ask you people to get down and lobby these legislators, because that's where the money is. It's and if they can find money, they definitely find money, because this act was passed, you know, and it was a lie. I mean, Senator Smith said he'd have, you know, I mean, he was questioned by the Judicial Committee, and he said, well, we'll have the funding in place, but hasn't happened, and it's been 9 years. So that's all I got here.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this? Yes, sir.
My name is David Shope, and the estimated loss, direct loss to landowners, ranges anywhere from $10 to $12.5 billion, and this is per Richard Laffert's book called The Highlands, or Mike Hollenstein's report commissioned by Warren County, where he says it's $15 billion. So $200 million a year, it'll take forever to get there. I mean, it's literally a drop in the bucket. You have to understand the magnitude of the problem, and once you do that, you will understand that the legislature, as presently constituted, never intended to pass. They lied about the $30.2 billion and saved water treatment costs. It was cited with North Jersey District Water Supply Commission as its source, and you have a letter. We've given it to you. From Senator Orojo's office, OLS says doesn't exist. So it was predicated on a lie to begin with, and compensation, unfortunately, I believe to be another lie. Do your best; it'll make you feel good when you pass this resolution, and you can say to yourself, "We tried." But I think it's just a cynical attempt to assuage us, and I'm not buying it.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, ma'am.
Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. I want to thank you for having this on the agenda, and I do want to have my organization support it, obviously. I think a lot of the big numbers that the previous speaker was mentioning, Well, those are just paper numbers, too. And if a person does not come forward and offer the land for sale, obviously they're not going to get money. I mean, you know, it's the value of what you can sell that would be either the development right or the property itself. Many of the people who are complaining have not even attempted to take advantage of the programs that currently exist. But we do urge you to get down in Trenton and lobby the legislatures. As Mr. Klump suggested, that is a good idea. And we hope that they will have a good measure on the ballot. They need encouragement. The governor needs encouragement. We need to have these coffers replenished so that people who would like to realize sale value from their properties have the opportunity to do so. And they still do have the opportunity to start with the 2004 appraisal value when they sell to the state. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this? Yes, sir.
Jerry Kern, Qualcomm Township. I don't appreciate the fact that the last speaker saying that somehow this is my fault because I didn't go to try to sell my land or do something. I don't think that I'm obligated to do that. Someone took my rights without paying for them. I shouldn't have to do anything. And for her to say that, it just goes to show where they're at. Don't get it, because they don't own any. No skin in the game. I appreciate the fact that this council is looking at this resolution. I can only support it, though, if you could add Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council. I got the wrong one here. I would like you to see add in the end of the beginning of the resolution that this money is 100% for the Highlands Preservation Area. I don't think this council should be asking agreeing with any funding that's not 100% for the Highlands. This is the Highlands Council. If this money can't go 100% any funding. If there's any money out there, it should be coming to us first, period. And to for this council to go along with any other funding for somewhere else is completely wrong, especially out of the council. I don't even think it's your right to hope for funding for somewhere else in the state when you're in control of the Highlands itself. If you go to a car lot and you buy a car, you don't take the car and have the guy come to your house looking for money. I don't think that would go over real well. Well, that's what they did with my property. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Any council members wish to be heard on this resolution? Yes, sir.
I've been trying to follow this legislation and make some sense out of it. That's possible if something come on the trend. But sustainable state funding for preservation and stewardship of open space. And currently in the Highlands area, we have 800,000 acres plus 398,000 in preservation, probably another 200,000 in protection and other zones that are just like preservation. And I have to tell you that I just have a problem with this legislation being very specific. We can do all the resolutions we want, but we're not going to change the legislation. And legislation is really for open space, and as I read it, acquiring even more. And I think, in my humble opinion, 881,000 acres in our area is a pretty good chunk of property to deal with. And there's no way I could support any resolution that wasn't more specific, or any legislation that really didn't specifically, the legislation on that specifically addressed landowner compensation in the Highlands. I think that we can do whatever resolution we want, but unless we get the legislation changed, and all the drafts and all the information that I've inquired about does not give a specific target for any of the findings that
going to be raised. So my concern is that, the actual legislation that we're trying to support is not specific enough to address the issues that we deal with. And we can talk about landowner compensation and TDRs all we want, but unless there's new legislation that supports what we're trying to do, I just can't support it.
Well, I agree that I don't think this is our measuring stick for how we feel the legislature should give us monies to compensate the property owners in this. It's yet another band-aid, so to speak.
Yeah.
Any other comments? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I just wanted to say that certainly it's important to take this first step, but this is a very small step. When you read the resolved part, it really does not direct the executive director to support or speak for the council in support of legislation to particularly a stable, sustainable source of funding for the Garden State Preservation Trust and the programs that the Highlands region has already benefited from for open space preservation. So I'm concerned that this is more of a feel-good kind of thing. I mean, it's a good first step, certainly, but it says it is necessary for exploration to begin evaluating future sources of funding. That is really way down the road. I mean, we're really, and requested that the second part is very vague. It doesn't really talk anything about open space funding. It talks about coordination with other agencies. So I really think that certainly, you know, this is a good first step, but this does not address the concerns that I brought up at the last meeting and other council members did too, that we are not down there advocating for open space funds that can be used in the Highlands. And, you know, we're about one-fifth of the state in terms of land mass, and we got 46% of the Garden State Preservation monies according to...
going back to 2000.
From 2000 to 2008. And we have a very good report that was done for the Regional Master Plan, our Land Preservation in the Highlands Region report, which goes into great detail exactly how many acres were identified and how many were bought. And
going
so
back
we,
to 2000.
No, this is actually since the adoption of the RMP. So there is that specific information in here. We can see how much it was paid per acre, and we see that there have been a lot of dollars that has come to the Highlands from open space funding that has been approved by legislation in Trenton. So I support the concept of this, but even the whereases are weak. I mean, it says we applaud funding mechanisms already in place. Well, folks, that money's gone. It's already allocated. There's no more money left that to buy new lands. And if we don't get those coffers filled, there'll be nothing for landowners to turn to if they want to preserve their land through the Garden State Preservation Trust. So I'm just asking that we consider certainly this as a first step, but I still want to entertain the resolution that I brought in because this does not take any action. Time is short. If we don't now get down there and lobby for this, the opportunity to get legislation that reflects the Highlands Council's concerns is going to go by. So we can't wait another month for exploration or however long it would take. And this certainly does not, as we discussed last time, give explicit direction for us to lobby for that, or at least send a letter to the legislature.
I wasn't planning on entertaining your resolution. First of all, it wasn't presented to me in a timely fashion to put on the agenda. And
I think I can make a motion on the floor, Mr. Chairman.
There's a motion on the floor right now.
After this.
There's a motion on the floor right now.
After this. I plan to
with our staff. I'm not protocol for that, but...
I'd like advice of counsel.
I said I'll get to that when we get to that.
That's fine.
We have a motion on the table right now. If we discuss this, I'll bring it up then. Yours.
Thank you.
Any other comments on this resolution?
Hey, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
If we pass this resolution, who would it be sent to?
I would assume the governor and the general senate.
Legislature. Mm-hmm. Right. And we discussed last time the possibility of Gene speaking before the legislature. And I think that if we send this resolution, it's obviously coming from the Highlands Council. So we're asking for funds for the Highlands, because it's coming from the Highlands Council, and I think it would be important for Gene to follow up by approaching the legislature and discussing the funding for the Highlands. That would be the next step as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, I think the council speaking is more important than the executive director going down there, but...
That would be the next step.
On this resolution, any further comments? Yes, sir.
Yes, I think this is a good first step, as Tracy indicated. And we have some support from the public, and so I was encouraged to hear that support from the public. But it is weak. It just doesn't seem to have much clout to it. And if we vote on this, then Tracy wants to bring up her resolution, which is a stronger one. If we vote yea on this one, then and so the next one's mute then, right? This is part of the
resolution.
Mr. Chairman, well, first I think we need to know through our council whether Tracy's resolution can be brought up tonight.
There's a resolution on the table now, and that's what we're addressing.
Yeah, I understand that, but you know, we're kind of dealing with two resolutions at the same time.
No, we're not.
In my mind, I don't know whether I'm going to vote yes or no on this, because I want to know if Tracy's resolution will be permitted to be brought up tonight.
If hers is brought up, what would prevent you from voting for both of them? So sure.
Well, but it happened. Okay.
You said it's a good first step.
I'll
trust
this.
You'll see what happens.
Let me finish my comment.
Sorry.
It is a good first step, yes, but I said this week, and if there's some way we can strengthen it or do something in the future to have more impact, that would be good. I'll vote on it because we have to do something.
I just have a question.
Yes,
we talk about lobbying the legislature. Every one of us comes from a county in the Highlands. We all have our legislative delegations in the county. Most counties have many. So, you know, it's tough to, you're not a lobbyist. You know, they're firms that get paid big bucks to go down, and they have these relationships with all of the senators and assembly people. But we certainly call a meeting and request that every single legislator who touches, you know, our counties in the island, they're political beings. The legislature's up, all of it. So I can't think of a better time to call the legislators to a meeting, if we so choose, and discuss these issues with them. I can tell you, after meeting with the governor trying to get them to take over the prosecutor's offices in counties, that was a $400 million problem, and that went nowhere, because that's a large chunk of the budget. And they're in budget hearings now. I doubt that they're going to take $200,000 without some other revenue source. They're just not going to pluck it out of the budget, given the budget problems. And I actually understand the comment, it's going where? So it is a good first step. It's not bad to do. But we have, you know, we have the ability to meet with the people that we put in office. Everybody has that. I don't know that we all agree, but I think we all agree that landowners deserve some kind of, you know, steady compensation. I think that we're all looking for some kind of revenue stream that's not going to be just a general stream out of the budget, because that's it. The state has an awful economy still, so I don't see them doing this without some kind of dedicated revenue stream. But it's worth a conversation, and if we're serious about it, we can do all of this passing all we want. But we have the ability to talk to these people. They're all people like us. Some of us are elected, some of us are not. We're, you know, appointed for other reasons. But you know, what's the harm in getting them into a room and saying, look, these are our problems, and addressing it? That's about the only lobbying we're going to be able to do. And we have some direct approaches. We're all political animals.
I agree, Mr. James. One of my problems with either one of these resolutions is the fact that we're not discussing dedicated funding to the Highlands. But we are here to represent you. And to me, that's where our goal should be. But I'm prepared to support this, because I generally, a small piece of the pie is better than no piece of the pie. So...
I don't think there's any harm. I'm not sure. I'll support it. I'm not saying there's harm in supporting this, but it's a feel-good piece that I think we should support. But I think, I'm not saying, we're not legislators. We're here for a different reason. But we hear the problems every day, and I just feel responsible to convey that to the people that make these laws. We're the ones who get beat up every month by the people we didn't create the laws. But we certainly hear the problems the laws have created on both sides of the issue.
Yep.
Well, I think we owe it to those legislators to tell them what problems they've created by the legislation that they put through and try to correct it. That's just what I think.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, I agree. It's a first step, yes, and I'm also of the opinion that this is it's like trying to eat an elephant bite by bite, if you will. And that's how I'm looking at this thing. You take a step, take another step. And I'm going to support this as the initial step, if you will. And I think it's strong enough to send our message.
Any other comments?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I am concerned that the resolution that I've proposed is not going to be considered. So I would like to know, and my concern is that myself and others may consider voting for this and supporting this because it's the first step. However, if I'm choosing between the two, I would rather choose the resolution that I brought in. And I'd like to know whether
I'm going to have it. I would assume you would.
Well, I would like to know if I'm going to have the opportunity to do that. Are you saying that you are blocking this resolution and you're not going to allow it to be voted on tonight?
At this point in time, from what I've read so far, it was not put on the agenda and are brought to staff nor myself for consideration for this meeting. We could certainly review it and consider it for the next meeting. But
Mr. Chairman, respectfully, this was also not in our packets. This was handed to us tonight when we walked in, this resolution. So these resolutions were handed to us and everybody here at the exact same moment. So my resolution and your resolution are on the same boat, are in the same boat.
Ask the governor to appoint the chair.
Well, you have the power to say that you're going to block this resolution. And if
any other comments on the current resolution on the table?
I have one other comment on this resolution. The Garden State Preservation Trust funds the Green Acres Program and the Farmland Preservation Program. That and our TBR program are the three land acquisition programs and landowner programs that we have in place and that we have used since the adoption of the RMP. We prepared, when the RMP was put together, this preservation report. We put into the RMP a charge for the council to seek sustainable funding for the acquisition of open space and the preservation of our resources through these programs. And I don't understand...
For the Highlands region.
And the way you do that is by supporting the state programs. And as I said, a disproportionate amount of money has been coming to the Highlands over the last 8 to 10 years. So we can because we have outstanding natural values here and land of very high natural resources. That's one of the reasons it's attracted the money. And we will continue to do that, I'm sure. And if the Highlands Council speaks up, like Carl said, they'll know we're speaking for Highlands lands. So in order for us to reap the benefits...
I've been speaking for a dedicated funding.
Let me finish my comments, please. In order for us to protect Highlands lands, we need to look at a state funding program. And the program that is being considered right now by the legislature is the Garden State Preservation Trust and other funding sources that we talked about at this last meeting. And those other funding sources, such as a tax, the Preserve New Jersey Act, the Green Acres Water Supply and Floodplain Protection Act, these other acts are very specific pieces of legislation that we need to speak up about now. We can't be sitting around and looking into further, necessary exploration to evaluate future. This is way too weak. This does not move us forward so we can go down there and advocate for money for these funds. And if we don't do that now, then we lose our chance. So I'm very concerned if we're not going to be considering my resolution, that we are having a very vague, weak resolution sent down to the legislature that really doesn't say, we want dollars through these bills. It just says, We think this is, you know, future sources of funds are a nice thing to think about.
That's what they are.
Well, we're talking about actual dollars if these bills actually get...
dedicated to the Highlands.
Some of the money comes to the Highlands, and it's based on a statewide system that evaluates the value of resources that the state is purchasing through these programs. We know we have those resources here. That's why we've attracted the money. Now, if we don't tell them that we have those resources here and that we know we have landowners here who want to participate in this program and we want them to pass legislation that makes those dollars come here, then we miss our chance. And this resolution just doesn't do that. It just... It says that we're going to begin evaluating future sources. So sending a resolution like this to me, we're saying to the legislature, gee, that's a nice thing to get start thinking about. This resolution says, let's do it. Let's get a sustainable source of funding to protect the Highlands and to protect all of the open space lands of New Jersey and maintain our commitment of the landowner equity provisions in the Highlands Act and the Highlands Region Master Plan. It specifically says the Highlands Region in this resolution.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Yes. Well, to my knowledge, the Garden State Trust has not paid any affected landowner a dime. Why would I support any giving that anymore?
That's not true. 46% from 2000 to 2008 was spent in the
Highlands. How many landowners have been compensated through Garden State Trust for their lost development rights? Why would I want to give them any more money for that?
We have 800. You're mixing apples and oranges.
We've already acquired. We don't need to acquire another.
We're going to hold out for billion. To say that a landowner is going to hold out for money from a certain pot when other money is there from another pot, I think you're assuming a lot about landowners.
More land acquisition and land preservation. That's what I'm talking about, because that's what the new legislation is talking about. They're talking about historical, and they're talking about Garden State Trust and all that other stuff. And I'm clearly pinpoint focused on our affected property owners. And given the Garden State Trust, and that as a good organization, many, they've done a lot of great things in a lot of our community, but it's not affected, the impact of this act on the property owners and their development rights. And that's where I think, that's where we need to focus. And I do talk to our elected officials. And I do what I think in my own little way will help that. So no matter what resolution we pass, unless the right legislation is on the table for the Assembly and the Senate, it's not going to do the 800,000 acres any good.
Any other comments? Yes, sir.
I have a clarification on the commissioner's comment that no money was used for acquisition because either somebody in the public, one of the agencies, knows, because I identified that as a true statement. Does anybody in the public speak about that?
The Garden State Trust?
What the commissioner said.
Once the Fed came to the house,
it's not.
Yes.
Go back to the landowners.
The GSPT funds the Farm and Preservation Program, and the Farm and Preservation Program has acquired easements in the Highlands Preservation Area. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. I know during the report, I think it's over, 30,000 or something?
Yes, it's
right. The GSPT, through Green Acres and the Farm and Preservation Program, that money's statewide, but there has been quite a bit of focus in the Highlands region.
Thank you. Any other comments from council members?
Yes. I think there's something very unique that we're missing here tonight that differentiates the need to have dedicated funding to the Highlands region and not the whole state. And council member Robert Walt and I had a chance to have a conversation the other day. And he said, well, show me another instance where somebody has had a taking and then has had to wait for the compensation. For instance, if you live along Route 46 and the state wants to build a new jug handle, they go to the impacted property owner and say, we need to condemn this property, we need to build a jug handle to make the intersection safer. They negotiate a price, the landowner compensated for the loss of the land that's being purchased for the public good, paid, and then the jug handle's built. In this instance, the legislature acknowledged that there was a need to preserve resources in the Highlands. They took the resource, and 8 years, 9 years later, it's still not paid for.
Right.
And as a member of the farm
community, as a leader of the farm community, I may have a different opinion, but as a Highlands Council member, I'm really troubled by the Highlands the thought of the Highlands Council being coerced into supporting statewide preservation efforts right now with a limited state budget, with the economic situation the state's in. When we have people here in the Highlands that have lost something for 9 years and still haven't been paid. And I think that's what sets us apart. And that's why, as a council member, I would have a tough time saying, yes, let's go forward with the Garden State Trust Fund and some mechanism that we really haven't identified yet in the hopes that we might get greater than 30% back into the Highlands. Because I think there is a big difference between perhaps right now a preservation project in Salem County compared to the Highlands region. Because somebody who voluntarily wants to preserve in Salem is much different than somebody who involuntarily was preserved in the Highlands region. And I think that's what makes this situation much different right now. The circumstances are completely different. We have a tough budget, the economy's still a bust, and it's the political atmosphere in Trenton is really loaded right now. It's an election year. And I think we need to be very careful in how we exercise and flex our muscle as a council member, because I think we're going to have one shot. And I think that the message we really need to be sending as we continue to build on this initial message is, hey, guys, it's been a long time since you've really stepped up to the plate to compensate these people who've been waiting for 9 years. And maybe if we have to prioritize preservation, maybe we prioritize the people who have been waiting a long time versus those who want to voluntarily go forward. There's a big difference.
Mr. Chairman, just for the record, between 2000 and 2012, 106,077 acres were preserved in the Highlands through the Garden State Preservation Trust. And in the same period, 230,191 acres were preserved in the entire state. So 46% of the Garden State Preservation Trust monies came to the Highlands in the last 12 years.
Which the Highlands is 17% of the land mass.
What do you mean by preserved?
Excuse me?
Again, I don't dispute the past, but I think what we have to focus on right now is the future. And the future based on the political climate and the financial reality of the state right now. And so I think that's what we need to focus on. And that's why I'm very hesitant to come forward and say, as a member of this council, I'm in favor of us just blatantly, maybe blatant is the wrong word, but just openly endorsing any type of mechanism to create preservation statewide right now, because selfishly, I think it needs to be directed to the Highlands region. And I think that needs to be first. And I think the state owes these people this compensation. It's been 9 years.
Mr. Chairman, I can't support this resolution. If we're not going to be more forthright, more pointed, more of advocates for open space funding for the Highlands than this weak resolution puts forward, I just can't support it. I think that we should look at a more robust resolution, and I think the one that I've offered fills that bill.
Any further comments on the resolution that's on the table?
I think this is kind of a unique situation where you have Kurt and Tracy, basically in my mind, agreeing on this. And I understand what both of you are saying, and I totally agree that it really doesn't have enough power in it. And what we're looking for as far as the Highlands. I was just wondering if there's any way that we could, and I hate to wait another month, but to take the comments that the council had tonight and rewrite this.
Currently, we're entertaining the motion that's on the table. Any further comments on the motion that is on the table? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
No.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis? No. Councilmember Holtaway?
Yes.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richko?
Reluctant, yes.
Councilmember Savatich?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizzioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Reluctantly, yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. again, reluctantly, because I don't think this is where our focus should be. It should be looking for a dedicated fund for the people of the Highlands region.
Jay?
Jim?
Yes, I'd like to introduce a resolution supporting sustainable state funding for preservation and stewardship of open space, parks, farmland, and historic sites in New Jersey.
I'd like to get an opinion from our attorney.
I'd second that, too.
Thank you.
I think this council has taken the position many times in the past, you know, consistent with the bylaws, that the chair does control the agenda. Again, that's my understanding of how it's been. You know, it's going back since the beginning that he does control the agenda, does control the resolutions that are introduced.
Just point of order, so I don't have the bylaws in front of me. So if there's a two-thirds, if there's a supermajority who decides to put something on the agenda, even though one person wants to keep it off, we don't have that power, is what you're telling us?
I think there are. I know that the bylaws provide that the meetings are guided by Robert's Rules of Order. I think there are provisions under Robert's.
Now, I asked that, Councilor, a while back when Gene Fowle came up about this rule under Robert's Rules, and I was distinctly told no. When the chairman shut me down, and they, you know what, now this needs to be looked at. Because when Gene Fowle came up for an appointment, I had the floor, and I was told by you that backed the chairman up that this wasn't under Robert's rules and he could shut me down. So now you're saying it is.
No, I'm...
You just said it falls under Robert's rules.
I said under the bylaws provide that meetings are guided.
That's the same as any government aid, any board.
I'd like to see if we have a supermajority to put this on. If we do and pass it, then you have a problem with that, legally tell us next meeting.
That's fair.
Then the form of motion or just
it was a motion and a second.
No, I meant the supermajority, yes.
I
we need a motion on that?
I think a motion would be appropriate at that point.
Did you make a motion, Bruce?
I will.
And I'll second that.
Do we need discussion?
Mr. James is looking for a supermajority vote to allow to override my ruling that I'm not entertaining this resolution.
This is a vote to override the ruling of the chair that this should not be considered at this meeting.
Correct.
Before we take this vote, I'm going to need to seriously have this taken seriously. That I want a written opinion, not by this attorney, by someone else, because he has now conflicted himself on the issue of Robert's rules. And if we go back in the minutes, I'd like the minutes pulled from that meeting, and I want his comments, I want to see his comments.
Correct.
Again, when I tried to have the floor and he shut me down. So, if we're going to be under Robert's rules, I want at least the board should be educated on what our rights are and what our rights aren't. Under a board chairman, because it's kind of to me a little bit more like a dictatorship and not a chairman of the board.
So that point of order, Mr. Chairman.
I disagree with that.
What constitutes a supermajority? Is it 60% as they have in the U.S. Senate? Is it two-thirds? What's the supermajority?
I assumed it was two-thirds, but I don't
think it's typically two-thirds.
So how many votes is that? It has to be present, or is it of the total?
As long as you have a quorum, it's of present.
So we have 12 here. We need 8. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, just for a point of clarification, I guess what we're going to be voting on is whether
this resolution can move her resolution.
Move the resolution or not.
Or we could have the chairman, if I may so say. You could just simply say, you know what, entertain her resolution. Does no harm attaching this resolution to the other resolution.
We have a motion and a second on the floor. We'll just move forward with the vote. Any further comment?
Yes,
let's vote.
We're voting on whether we're going to
allow a vote.
Allow a vote, right, on this resolution. Are we setting a precedent that in the past and in the future, that if any of us bring in a resolution, we can add it to the agenda at any time? Because I get a lot of friends that hand me resolutions and ideas to bring in here. Will I be able to bring a resolution? This passes.
I'm going to need Mr. Doherty's advice to make sure we get some clarification moving forward.
And
And we'll move. We'll have an answer for you by the next meeting.
Fair.
Any other comments on the motion? See a non-roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston.
One of these moments of having hay isn't always the best.
You know, I'm reading the bylaws here, and I think it's important that we conduct these meetings very consistently. And I'm very uncomfortable right now in this heated emotional environment of making this kind of vote, or taking this kind of vote right now, because I don't feel we've really taken a few minutes to even begin to research this. And this isn't the way to govern. I don't believe that we just throw this stuff out and see if it sticks and let's see if we can get something done. There has to be order. And I do believe that chairs have the responsibility to conduct the meeting in an organized manner. And I believe that a chair has to have some ability to conduct things in a way and organize the business so that it's understood, so we don't have duplicity in things that we're doing. And I really am uncomfortable with just jumping in and doing this right now. I will tell you that I don't have a major problem with considering the resolution. On the other hand, I don't like the way that it's coming about right now. And so in light of that, I'm going to vote no.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
No.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richko.
So I want to remind Kurt that we received both resolutions tonight. We received that ahead of time or on our email agenda. So I will vote yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
No.
Councilmember Godin.
No.
Councilmember Walton.
No.
Chairman Riley.
No. It failed the supermajority. So at this point in time, we'll move on to the next point of business. And I'll revert back up towards the top, which takes us to committee reports. At this point in time, I'd like to ask Mr. Alston to report on the personnel committee and their recommendation, and then we'll end up on the agenda. So now is the personnel report.
So let's move on to a lighter subject, and that is that of hiring an attorney.
Oh, this will be fun.
Really? Okay. We're going to close session on that?
Yes.
As you're all aware, for some time now, there's been discussion about hiring an attorney for the Highlands Council. The position was approved for filling, and subject to that, our executive director and assistant deputy executive director have advertised, received application, did a preliminary review of applicants, brought in the highest ranking applicants for interviews, and then made a selection, presented that nominee, if you will, to the personnel committee. Our personnel committee met via the telephone conference this past Friday, and we reviewed the candidates and have a candidate that we are prepared to present to the council.
Which is in line with our bylaws. So, thank you, Mr. Alston. That brings us to the resolution. Should we move the resolution and then go into executive?
Yeah, recognizing that this is listed as a voting matter with public comment prior to that, for the council's consideration, there will be a resolution as follows. Whereas the Open Public Meetings Act permits the holding of closed sessions by public bodies in certain circumstances in the Highlands, council is of the opinion that those circumstances presently exist. Whereas the council will discuss personnel matters concerning a prospective employee within the meaning of NJSA 10:4-12B8. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the council may enter into closed session at its public meeting of March 21st, 2013, for that purpose.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Since the public has to leave the room, we'll also take 5 minutes so everybody can do
it. I make one point in order. Dean?
Yes.
Do we have to note that we will be coming when we come out of closed session? We may or may not take official action?
Yes, that's a fair point. Yes. Regardless of the attorney's opinion. We probably will take action after this executive session, and we still have our public session. So if you wish to be heard, or wait a minute, have public comment on any further actions this evening, please remain in the building, not necessarily in the room. Bring the meeting back to order, please. Oh, wait, we'll wait for it. At this point in time, we'll move on to our next item on the agenda, which we skipped over previously, and this is the consideration of resolution, appointment of chief counsel. This is a voting matter with public comment. Can I get a motion on this resolution inserting the name Andrew Davies?
I'll make that motion.
I will second.
We have a motion and a second on the floor. At this point in time, I'd like to open it to the public for any comment. Please raise your hand. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, could you just clarify the name?
Andrew Davies.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody in the public wish to be heard?
Yes, sir.
I've got two questions. I kind of like the lawyer we got here today from DEP. Number one, it doesn't cost us anything.
Extra,
let's put it that way. And the other thing that is blank here is base salary of XXXXX, about as much as my pharmacist.
I'm sorry. 107,500.
So we could save per year. You know, we're in a tight budget here. The state is. If we could continue to use Dean over here.
Yes, please.
We pay for our services through the Deputy Attorney General Office.
And how much is that?
It'll be, top $100,000 this year.
$100,000.
Right now, we've expended, I think, $88,000. Is that correct, Margaret?
Something like that, yeah.
For our,
so
our
it's not a savings.
It's not a savings. Okay. All right. Dean, I'm sorry. Appreciate that.
This will be full time, not part time. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this matter?
Yes, sir.
My name is David Shope, and this is a hell of a way to do business. This resolution was blank until a few minutes ago. You have a long chat, and you expect the public to comment on this. My only comment is $107,000 a year, when the same Highlands Council offered me $168,500 maximum for my development rights. I don't get these numbers. So all I can say is, when you're hiring somebody that will have a potential effect on how I live up here, I need to know more about him than just hearing his name and salary 30 seconds ago. So I don't know what to say, except the way you do things is terrible.
Unfortunately, this is a personnel matter that's primarily handled by staff. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this? Yes, sir.
Elliot Ruben, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. And the only information we have about your prospective new chief counsel is an article that appeared in the New Jersey Law Journal November 2nd, 2011. That's the only information we have. We don't know if opinions have changed. I suspect you council members are aware of this and have read it, and it brings to mind many questions about the soundness of the legal advice he may be providing. And I'm talking about Andrew R. Davies. he claims that the act is toothless. Yet in this article, he proposes folding the work of the Highlands Council to the State Planning Commission. They haven't had dentures in several years, never mind any teeth. I find that tremendously inconsistent when complaining about this body not having any teeth to send it under the Department of State, the State Planning Commission. The financial burden of the act, he says, is unfair and unconstitutional. But how can an attorney claim that in the next sentence, saying that in the 7 years that Highlands issues have been litigated, no court has found a regulatory taking? How can you just blithely call something unconstitutional when you can't find a judge to agree with you? Mr. Davis compares the Highlands Act with the Meadowlands and the Pinelands and points out the mechanisms that they have available to make their programs work. Yet rather than proposing any ideas how this body can work, he suggests just scrapping it. So the only information we have about this gentleman concerns us. And yes, he does mention that the water resources of the state are tremendously important. But if we do as he suggested, what have we done to rectify that problem? Get rid of the act, okay. People would, there'd be some people who'd be very relieved, but we still have that fundamental problem of our water resources that in 2004 the legislature found that we weren't able with the mechanisms in place to protect.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. At the outset, I must say that I do not know Mr. Davis, so there is nothing personal in my remarks. However, his appointment by the council would appear to be at least somewhat inappropriate. I, too, have seen this article from the New Jersey Law Review from 2 years ago, in November 2011, actually. And in it, he says that the, quote, Highlands Act has been an abject failure. It's time for a new plan. The Highlands Act should be repealed and the planning functions of the council reallocated elsewhere in state government, close quote. Preferably through an act of the legislature, if no legislation is forthcoming, the powers of the Executive Reorganization Act would be exercised by the governor to achieve the same result. And then he suggests turning the planning responsibilities of Highlands Council, transferring that to the State Planning Commission. So I find this extremely troubling for a number of reasons. Let me start with the last one, turning over the responsibilities to the State Planning Commission. The State Planning Commission has done very little in the last couple of years. It has been an organization that has been, I would say, almost at a standstill for the last 5 years. And I do not think that you can say that about the Highlands Council. Granted, it has taken time to work through the plan conformance process, but the plan itself is an excellent plan, and you are, in fact, moving ahead on conformance. Other things that are very concerning are that this person would be in a leadership position. And surely one wants someone in a leadership position who has a commitment to the act and to the program
he is entrusted with administering. And based on this article, it does not sound like this person would have that sort of commitment. Your existing staff is dedicated to that commitment of doing the Highlands and doing the plan conformance and protecting the region. And I do not think that the staff would like to see these responsibilities turned over to the State Planning Commission. And I do not think they would be well carried out by the State Planning Commission.
Thank you, Ms. Brown.
And so that is very concerning. He also talks at some length about the compensation issue, which has been an item of discussion just earlier this evening. And, you know, we would like to reiterate that there are three measures of compensation that are available. The Open Space Farmland Protection Act protection measures through the GSPT, if we get more money, the TDR bank, and an exemption for every lot that in the Highlands that was in existence at the date the Act was passed.
Thank you, Ms.
Brown. So I we are very concerned about this potential appointment. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Jerry Kern, Pawhatcon. I had no idea who Mr. Davis stood for, or who he even is here in the room, until Mr. Rugla informed me. Sounds to me like Mr. Davis is a very bright fella and smart, and I think it even sounded like he has some blood running through his veins, if I could take that guesstimate. But thank you, Mr. Rugla. I would hope that this council would appoint him. Sorry, Dean, I don't know if that makes you go away or if you're going to work together or, but, but so I would hope this council approves this gentleman. I think we could use someone, if in fact Mr. Rubler was correct, we could use someone on this council like that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this person? Yes, sir.
My name is Pat Moffitt from PPAC. I'd just like to address a comment Mr. Ruger made about water quality being the basis of the Highlands Act. Again, it is from a North Jersey District Water Supply Commission that informed the Highlands Task Force. That report is the only named report for the basis for NJAC 738, which are the Highlands Act regulations. It's been almost a year now since Office of Legislative Services asked for that report and was told it does not exist. I'm just not sure how this can go on for a year that the seminal document for the Highlands Act has been told not to exist, and it's not important to anyone. I don't know what else to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Did anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dave Pfeiffer from the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. I have to disagree with Mr. Moffitt's last comments. There were a number of detailed studies of the Highlands done by the U.S. Forest Service. There was a Highlands Task Force. There was a serious amount of work put into developing the Act. We, too, are concerned that a report has gone missing. However, I don't think that diminishes the value of the Highlands, which is clear to you when you walk down any mountain ridge in the Highlands. We've had recognition of the value of the Highlands since 1906, and that quotation is in your regional master plan. Despite the fact that a report has appeared to have gone missing, I don't think the Act is undermined. And besides that, it was a large majority of the legislature that passed it. Assembly voting was 69-8. The Senate vote was equally lopsided. Both parties supported the legislation. Now, as far as Mr. Davis, I don't know Mr. Davis. All I've been provided with was a copy of the New Jersey Law Journal report, and I am greatly dismayed that his name is here before us today based on the content of this report, and I think that you need to think very carefully about what you're doing here tonight with this particular candidate. There are a number of issues that I would disagree with, and some of my colleagues from other organizations have alluded to those, but I'm in agreement with their testimony, and I would suggest to you that this would be a dangerous and bad precedent for you to engage in tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this matter? Seeing none, I'm now opening it up to council members. Any council members? Any further comments? Yes, ma'am.
Yes. I would like to state that I'm not going to vote in favor of Mr. Davis. My concern really comes out of a fix for the Highlands problem, the Law Journal article that some members of the public have mentioned, and many council members have copies of this as well. My concern is that even if Mr. Davis has changed his opinion since he wrote this article, that there is just a logical flaw in it, because he says, and one aspect of that that I just can't find credible, is that it's stated in here that the Highlands Act should be repealed. And he says that because he believes there's a flaw in terms of, according to this article, the financial burden that the Highlands Act places on private property owners. And yet, the Act has a financial component in it. And there's discussion in the Act of the various sources of funding, and there's a definite concerted effort in the regional master plan to go after the ways that land purchase can be funded. So I don't really find it credible that if you believe that the only aspect of an act that you have a problem with is because it's not funding the land aspect, that why would you repeal the act? Why wouldn't you just find ways to fund the land acquisition? So I think there's a leap there that just doesn't make logical sense to me, and that concerns me. I think an attorney should think very logically. Also, I'm concerned about some of the statements in the later part of the article that says that these detailed studies that the Highlands Council would produce could be shared with DEP and local planning boards. Now, this was written a year and a half ago in 2011, but that statement is really shooting from the hip, because if Mr. Davis had read the regional master plan at the time he wrote this article, or if he'd even attended any of the public hearings or our meetings here, he would know that that is the major piece of work that we've been doing, is sharing this information, particularly with municipalities. And the municipalities that we hear the reports on, month in and month out, that are taking part in this process are getting all of these technical reports and the model ordinances and all of the planning tools that the regional master plan has produced. So I think it's that shooting from the hip kind of attitude that's displayed in this article is just not what we need. We need to have an attorney that's more careful about, those kinds of, stating those kinds of opinions in a cavalier way. I'm disturbed by many of the comments in the article saying the law is wrong, that it's unfair, and that it should be repealed, and that it's an abject failure. But particularly, I'm concerned about this misconnection in terms of the logic of why, and then this fact that he really didn't familiarize himself with what we do here and what we've done since 2004, when he wrote this article many years after it, that process began.
Thank you. Any other council members? See, oh, sorry.
Man has 28 years of experience, and we're ignoring all that and coming to one little article that he wrote in one day. And, you know, I think we have to be careful when we make judgments on these types of positions. And personally, I don't think there's error in having a counselor who sees two sides. I mean, he has more articles than this on the thing. None of them were brought up. I mean, I didn't get a chance to read them all because I just got this now. But, you know, a lot of these articles are more toward regional planning, how good it is, and it's a benefit. That's what we are, a regional planning agency. He sees this as a benefit. Are there defects in the law? His job here is to advise us on case law, and his definition, defined area of participation is very narrow. And we grilled the hell out of him for the past 45 minutes. And I think that what he's expressed has met my criteria as being accepted.
Yes, sir.
I want to find a thing. I'm going to be voting no on this appointment, and mainly for the things that Brother Gio summarized here. So we had a long discussion about that when the public was up, and so I'm not going to go over that for summary. Sums it up pretty much for me also.
Thank you. Any other council members? Yes, sir.
A couple things. One is I'm also going to not affirm, and not so much the reason that he has an opinion. He's entitled to his opinion. But it's stated pretty clearly in his piece on November 2nd, 2011. But I also want to bring up a perfect point you just made about the process. He has written many articles, many. And we didn't really have the opportunity to really get through and read all his articles, which really may have formed a different opinion of a number of these board members. And although I think what we've heard for a number of months, at least as long as I've been here, I think everybody has at one point or another said that there has to be a mechanism to financially reimburse these landowners for property. I don't see that as the issue here. I think everybody agrees with that. And that one comment in your piece did actually talk about the compensation being created through consumption. So I do want to recognize that is in that article, amongst all the other things of Toothless and Repeal the Act and things like that. But I'm not a legislator. I don't have the right to appeal it. I have the right to sit here as a commissioner or the governor to uphold it. And I, as a commissioner, have to feel comfortable that the attorney is going to not be swayed one way or another on his opinion. This clearly states to me that you have an opinion. And I think there lies an issue for me. I don't think that you're not qualified. You have a great resume. But I think there's an also issue with the process. And the fact that if we could have had more information, the ability not to have this put in front of us without being able to go through the many articles this gentleman has written, we may have based, some of us who are not in the affirmative may have based a different opinion. But because we get this put at it, and the process to me is skewed, then there has to be a better way to do this so all board members can feel comfortable in making their votes based on all the information that we should have available to us. Not just one letter that clearly states your opinion on the repealing of the Highlands Act. So I'm not going to go into, I think that we spent enough time on it. I will not be voting in the affirmative, but I will have to, if affirmed, I will have to work with you, and I guess time will tell. But I think that we need to, as a board, look at the process.
Any other? Yes, sir.
I'll be brief. We got to know Mr. Davis tonight, sitting there, we asking questions. He seems like a fine gentleman. He has a good resume with lots of experience. What concerns me is this article that was written just a year and a half ago. It wasn't written, 10 years ago. And cannot support voting for him. It disturbs me what was written in this article.
Any other comments?
Yes, sir.
We received these resumes on March 15th, is that correct? Can you email these resumes?
Looks like they signed out with the package, is that correct, Annette?
Yeah, that's an easy report.
On 15th of March, we received this. We could have looked at it, had 7 days to ask for these articles, look at them ourselves.
And just an FYI, I had two board members call me and ask me for a copy of articles that were sent to them within an hour.
Multiple or just one?
They were sent the...
Multiple articles or just one article?
Depending on which, there were three that were noted, and they asked, some asked for all three. One asked for all three, one asked for two.
I'm sorry. When I read, I saw the article that is controversial for the first time today, which showed me by one of my colleagues, and I saw some of the other articles previously, both having been to the only members of the personnel committee and also in the special position of the team. And to the folks that were on my side of this issue, I wouldn't be so optimistic about this gentleman. He's not a perfect person that we were paying from listening to that article that you heard quoted today. And to the folks on the other side of the room, he's not the bad guy that you present based on that one article. I'm not going to let the perfect get me the good. I'll be going to the candidate.
Any other comments?
Well, just one question.
Yes.
When did the chairman, when did you notify the chairman of your choice for this position?
I don't recall the exact date.
I didn't get this on the 15th.
No. But that's not the policy or the process.
No. It's what
the process is that.
It's a simple question.
Okay, well, I was going to bring it up anyway because you mentioned the process being flawed. It's a process that's dictated by the bylaws that was just reviewed and affirmed.
The meeting packet was emailed to us on the 15th. Yes. March 15th, she filed to.
When did Gene file notify you?
Yes.
I don't know the date.
It's been a while.
10th,
No. It's been a while.
I'm trying to get it to 15. A lot of times you might say it's not the 15th or 16th, but you might not get it in front of me to the 19th or 20th. It's very small windows to do detailed information on a bunch of articles. So that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you're in violation of bylaws, but you can change bylaws. And this is something I think that we looked at, we didn't see when we looked at the bylaws. And this is something I think we should revisit when that time comes up, to relook at the bylaws as this process change.
I'll disagree with you because that was one of the primary focuses that bylaws committee was set up to review.
Well, I guess we got it wrong.
Any other comments? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
No.
Councilmember Doherty.
No.
Councilmember Francis.
Yeah.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
No.
Councilmember Richko.
No.
Councilmember Sevetich.
No.
Councilmember T. Fank. Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Wait a minute. I didn't get an opportunity to vote.
Councilmember T. Fank.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Resolution passes. So after the minutes review, it would affirm the actions taken this evening in hiring Mr. Davis. Thank you, sir. At this point in time, we're going to move into the public session.
I am going to leave you now, if I may.
Thank you, Mr. T. Fank, for taking the time out. I know you were working, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good night, everybody.
Good night. At this point in time, we'll open the public session. I would ask you to recognize the time. So if you have any comments, please raise your hand.
It's not snowing.
I'll keep it quick. Monique Purcell, Department of Agriculture. Just wanted to suggest for the public hearing process that you outlined tonight that there is some type of framework for the RMP to kind of focus the discussion, because there may be an opportunity where we just get a lot of people in the room to say the same things that we've been hearing for really long time. We know the big issues and they're significant, but if you're going to talk about actually RMP analysis, I think we need to have a framework to kind of get that discussion narrowed, because don't know if anybody heard about the state plan hearings, but they turned into quite a fiasco. So yeah, if you can kind of frame the discussion and monitor it, I think it would be much more productive.
Yeah, we're still working on some of the particulars.
Yeah, just a suggestion as you're putting
it together.
That's a real good suggestion, because people have to know it's focused on the RFP.
And I would like to point out, and I don't think I mentioned it earlier, but written suggestions can be put in specifically for this review process. So unlike other written things that may have been presented in the past, I would suggest you resubmit for this review. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to have to excuse myself.
Good evening. Dave Pfeiffer from AmJack. Couple of comments and maybe a question or two on the exemption and training for municipal officials. Will you be inviting environmental commissions to participate in those trainings?
Or the public?
Well, I understand that it's not a public training, because I can't get in.
it's posted on the website, the entire course.
I understand, but are you inviting and involving environmental commissions?
At the council's discretion, we might hold another meeting just for others who are not landowners or elected.
Statutorily empowered to comment on ordinances, I think it would be very important for them to be involved. They're likely to encounter exemption determinations in their normal duties as environmental commissioners. So I put in a plea for you to please do that. Another issue that came up during the presentation was the issue of fees for the service. I think your model ordinance is permissive of fees, and it's up to the municipality to decide. It is not a requirement that they establish a fee, but they are permitted to do so. And I think that needs to be on the record.
I think we're being sensitive to the governor's order that fees not be added to any service of local government, and I think that becomes a discretionary item, as you said.
Well,
it is permissive.
We can't
at the local level.
I understand that you can't mandate it, but you can be permissive about it, and you have been in your model ordinance. Mm-hmm. And then the last issue related to the exemption and training is we need to clarify that adopting the ordinance that would allow this and taking the training is voluntary for any conforming town that is not a part of conformance.
That's true.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. On the subject of RMP, redo, re-exam, whatever you want to call it.
Update.
Oh, yes, I forgot the magic word. I would commend to you to take a look at the Pinelands fiscal analyses that have been done repeatedly over the years. It's a requirement of the federal act that established the Pinelands. They are very thorough and very good. If you are lost in the wilderness about what issues should be looked at, they can certainly help clarify that for you. They also, as part of those analyses, looked at towns statewide outside the Pinelands and compare them to towns within the Pinelands, which I think is one of the intents that you may have. Those data are there for those other towns in the Pinelands documents, so you can save a lot of time and energy and work by using their data for the areas outside the Pines.
Thank you, Mr. Frank.
And is there anything else? With regard to RMP update, I just have to say that I agree with previous testimony that you need to frame the issue for the public, and having some internal process precede those public hearings is probably a good idea, so that you can charge folks with a real task that they can accomplish, rather than vent frustration or invent magical unicorns. So I've been in a lot of public hearings, and I know how they go if you don't structure them. So I would encourage you to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Heather Gardloya, and I'm here to, I'm a High Bridge resident and one of the Mine Road neighbors petitioning the town to extend the sewer line. I listened to the meeting minutes of February 21st, 2013. I'm here to address questions raised by the Highlands Council. The first I would like to address were questions about capacity. And I'd like to quote a passage from a letter addressed to me on March 13th, 2013. From the DEP, written by Mr. Eugene Chevra, says the area along Mine Road is in the sewer service area of the town of Clinton sewage treatment facility. In addition, the borough's collection system and the treatment facility are not currently in any sewer connection ban imposed by the department. Adequate treatment capacity also appears to be available based upon the reviews of the discharge monitoring reports to the department. The significance for our situation in relevance to Highlands Act is that High Bridge has recently accepted a sizable grant, in part to create a plan to restore Lake Solitude and to safeguard this regional resource. Lake Solitude is a lake larger than 10 acres and is within 1,000 feet or less of the homes within the Mine Road Lake community boundaries. Mine Road has 16 residents left off the sewer line. Two homes reside on the banks of Lake Solitude. Six homes bear the tributary that feeds Lake Solitude to the remaining eight homes. The remaining eight homes are situated uphill of the lake and tributary. Hence, a cluster of septic substandard systems and cesspools in a protected area bordering a lake and tributary to the lake. High Bridge Town Council's response to this, as stated by Tom Flynn at the Town Council meeting on February 28, 2013, the borough has no plan to extend the existing sewer service to Mine Road or to any other section of the borough not currently served by public sanitary sewer. This includes short-term plans defined as 2 to 3 years, intermediate plans defined as 5 to 10 years, and long-term plans defined as 10 to 20 years. I am offering this information to you for your planning purposes. Please proceed to address your individual situations accordingly. The town declined to perform site suitability tests, stating there was no need because they were not going to extend the lines. Cost-benefit analysis, EIT grants, DEQ loans were never researched. No need to do due diligence as they were not extending the lines. The Ordinance 2013-3 was adopted on February 28, 2013, providing sewer service access and setting priority to only those on the existing sewer lines. There is no acknowledgement to properties outside the sewer lines as there was once before under Ordinance 200-6C. The Council has written this out of the law with no mind to hardship or environmental issues. The Council has not performed due diligence and still proceeded to adopt this new ordinance and deny us of the sewer extension. All systems, cesspools, substandard septics, even conforming septics, can potentially leach nitrates and other contaminants into the ground, and all systems eventually fail. When compared to these systems, site suitability tests would prove extending the line is more efficient and environmentally sound. A cost-benefit analysis would also help to obtain funding. Our situation has since evolved from a neighborhood in hardship to now an environmental issue, an issue that not only concerns our neighborhood and municipality, but extends beyond us. As Lake Solitude feeds into the South Branch River, a regional resource, the Council has adopted an ordinance ignoring public health issues, prioritizing not by necessity or by environmental impacts. The very actions are in contradiction to the adopted Highlands conformance and the very goal to protect our water resources. As this issue concerns the Highlands Council, we are asking for your help to better communicate the importance of these protections to the High Bridge Town Council. Thank you. And I'd like this submitted into the minutes, please.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
Pat Moffitt, PPAC. Mr. Pfeiffer said that there are many other reports that support the water claims of the Highlands Act. If they're there, produce them. I've been looking for years. I cannot find the calculations or any support. Produce them. It's the main claim for the Highlands Act. It's the named reference document in the regulations. And now we're told that this named reference document does not exist. I've spent 30 years in the water business. The claims are outrageous. especially from a supply standpoint. I could make the case that the Highlands Act actually made water supply in New Jersey worse. The claims made in the Highlands Act directly contradict the state's water supply plan. And the only way around that was the North Jersey report that doesn't exist. Right? North Jersey District Water Supply was the key advisor for the U.S. Forest Service 2002 report. They were the key advisor to the Highlands Task Force. Two people were lent for 7 months to the Highlands Council to write its water resources section. There is no independent oversight here. There are no calculations. There are no documents supporting these claims. In my career, I've seen a lot of environmental issues stretched. We're dealing with something pretty important when we're starting to stretch the truth about critical water supply problems. It's got to be addressed. It absolutely has to be addressed. This act forced population now growth into areas that are being pumped back up into the water, that are being pumped up into the Round Valley. And somehow we think, oh, that doesn't count. It only counts. DEP documents show that both Wanakee and Newark were already well protected. I'll leave you with one last item. Passaic Valley Water Commission produces a drinking water rate lower than Newark's. Newark has the most protected supply in New Jersey. 87% of its watershed is just pristine. Passaic Valley pulls water from an intake just near Patterson in the Passaic River. It is as much as 75% sewage effluent at low flow in the summer period, and it meets all the drinking water qualifications and does so at a cheaper rate than Newark. Modern water treatment technology is not a linear function of watershed or watershed protection. Somebody, please, show me the calculations, show me the basis, because the reports that you claim exist don't. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
My name is David Shope, and when you're reviewing the Pinelands assessments of land values, please take note that in the Pinelands, they do not compare vacant land prices within the Pinelands versus outside the Pinelands boundaries. They just don't do it, and they don't want to do it because the numbers would stink and it would not support landowner equity in the Pinelands, even 20-some-odd years after the enactment of the Pinelands Act. When you're trying to figure out how to do this regional master plan review, the first thing you have to do is to determine who the public is. The public, to my mind, is the people with the skin in the game. And by skin in the game, I do not mean being paid by an environmental group to show up here and spout the same message over and over again. That means you're just here to protect your job. People with skin in the game are people who have their names on deeds of Highlands property. That's who has skin in the game. Adjust your public review process accordingly. And another thing that happens is, where does this water deficit come from? This water deficit that these towns opt into and that is created by the Highlands Act is a fraud. It presumes that the water deficit exists because we are in a perpetual drought. We're not in a perpetual drought. This is a legislatively mandated or a DEP mandated condition which has no basis in reality. I read in your minutes that Mr. Walton asked if the $16,000 can be explained on how it was derived at a future meeting. File responded that the new program will make it market-based. I need details of that. That means nothing to me. This is gibberish. So I need a more detailed explanation of what this paragraph in your meetings of the minutes February 21st means. We'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard this evening?
Ellen Heinrich, New Jersey Farm Bureau. I know it's very late and everybody's tired of sitting, but I've waited all this time in order to deliver a letter to you from New Jersey Farm Bureau. I understand I have to give it to Annette and she will attach it to the minutes, but I please ask all of you, I don't know whether you read what gets attached to the minutes, but I'm afraid I have to go over a couple of things just to make sure that you have heard them. We've been a steady monitor of the Highlands planning since the day the Act was signed, and we've had three issues of critical importance we wanted to make you aware of as you start this process. This is your first bit of feedback. The first one is, the zoning densities and land values determined by the way the nitrate dilution model sets septic densities in the Highlands rests on what we believe has been shown to be based less on empirical science and more on preordained political goals. Farmland owners continue to question the basis for the 1 to 25 and 1 to 88 acre zoning in the preservation area and also in conforming planning area parts of towns. Farmland values are down 70-80% because of these excessively large lot sizes. As was discussed last month, Farm Bureau has challenged DEP's use of the model, which was required by the Act. We question whether model terms are still necessary when the land is so regulated with more than 50 natural resource factors. And DEP rules were supposed to be a placeholder until the RMP was done, and then the DEP rules hopefully would be changed or made to coordinate better with what you're trying to do in the RMP. We understand DEP is taking another look at the Highlands rules at the same time that you're going to take another look at the RMP, and we would hope that you would work together with them in order to make what they have set in stone go fit better with what you're trying to do with you know, development and protection of the Highlands. And there is a section in the Act, section 6M, that says that the council can make recommendations on water quality, water supply, and other environmental protection standards to the DEP commissioner as issues are discovered through the analysis that's going to be coming. That's the first issue. The second one I already brought up, which was the supporting some kind of permanent funding. And the third one, while the current RMP contains various recommendations on equity for landowners, an overall strategy combining all the pieces needs to be articulated to emphasize the fairness to Highlands landowners bearing the brunt of the Highlands regulations. Something more like policy number one in the state plan that makes it very clear what should be considered for fairness to the landowners that are supporting the water resources for the rest of the state. We're very happy that you're putting emphasis on trying to make TDR work, but that's only one of the tools, and the other tools need some work, and the exemptions that Kurt was talking about.
Thank you for your comments. I promise you I'll read it.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
I got one question. This is for Dean.
Who are you, sir?
My name is James Ryland. Dean, is that 2588? Where's the statute on that? You're with DEP, so maybe you would
No, he's with the AGG's office.
Oh.
The litigation, the septic density litigation that got...
Yeah, 88, 25, yes. What's the status on that?
My understanding of it is that because the litigation, numerous extensions were filed, and I think ultimately the court did dismiss it, subject to give DEP time.
Mm-mm. It's not dismissed.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
No, it's not dismissed.
Well, that's my understanding of litigation.
Dean, we don't have the answer.
Dean, okay, I got a question for you. Dean, as long as you're not, could you just find out for us and give it to...
He won't be
back. Club up there.
I will call somebody.
Yeah. Would you please? I'd appreciate it.
I will.
And he could report back to me. The hat club's all right.
Just do it pro bono. Because
I'm happy.
Oh, yeah. I lost my head.
Anybody out in the public wish to be heard?
Yes, sir.
I get heard. I need to, in the next 10 days, I can do it and bill for it.
Jerry Kern, try to make it quick. I would also... ask this council again to look at those nitrate models, 88 acres, really. That's a joke. Everybody knows that. Also, please don't confuse the Pinelands with the Highlands. Don't use that data. That's nothing to do with the Highlands. That's a completely uninhabited area, unpopulated, no comparison to the Highlands, which is very populated. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
Come on.
He already talked.
Wait a minute. I'll go over here and sit on this.
Let me sit over here.
Chairman, may I speak?
Thank you.
I want to withdraw the support that I gave for my organization on the resolution for the open space because of the lack of the ability to see the Carlicchio resolution.
Okay.
So that's, I'd like the record to reflect that we withdrew our support.
Don't know.
Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
I'm done. Good night, everybody.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? See you
done. All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.